It was a November night in 2004. Michael Bell Jr. was shot and killed by a Kenosha police officer in the driveway of his family's home. His mother and sister were witnesses, and this family's story starts to sound all too familiar. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and in case you haven't noticed, we have this amazing capacity to make lasting meaning out of just senseless tragedy. I think it's where hope comes from. 15 years of work from our next guest has already helped make some difference for the family of Jacob Blake. Michael Bell Sr. joining us this morning. And Michael, thank you for taking the time.
Lee, I'm happy to be here.
Let's start by talking about your son. Tell us about him.
Michael Bell was a 21-year-old college student who was employed. He was not a perfect angel. He had a pending DUI. And on the night of November 9th, 2004, he was coming home from a night out with friends, and he arrived at his own home, and a police officer came up behind him. Michael got out of his car, and there was some commotion, and essentially the officer made some accusations that later proved false in our civil rights trial, and the situation escalated to the point until which Michael was tased and he ran to the back of his home. At that time, his mother and sister heard the commotion upstairs, and they came downstairs and they watched Michael getting what they could describe as a Rodney King-style beating. And essentially, an officer at that time grabbed Michael, bent him over the hood of the car. Michael was handcuffed. Another officer screamed, "He has my gun," and a fourth officer came to the scene, put a gun directly to Michael's temple, pulled the trigger. It did not fire because the slide was disengaged, and he put it back to Michael's temple and fired a deadly shot. This occurred under a spotlight, and there were five civilian witnesses.
How many police officers?
Initially they claimed four, but our own public records showed that there are more.
More than four police officers. It sounds chaotic and is obviously tragic. Tell us about the investigation.
The investigation took place in 56 hours, two calendar days. And I found that to be very alarming. Your listeners need to know that I'm a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. I was a pilot. And I spent my whole career essentially looking at how to keep people alive by studying safety and accident investigations. And I was appalled by the quickness of the investigation.
Obviously you're in shock. There's nothing to feel because that's how you're going to cope with getting through such an amazing tragedy. But a tragedy compounded on an investigation that took place over 2 days and then cleared the officers involved. Do you remember that time for yourself, for your family, for your wife and daughter, and what that was like?
I sure do. Your listeners need to know that in that time frame, in Wisconsin, a police department conducted its own investigation on its own coworkers. And that was really alarming to me because I knew that the Inspector General in the Air Force or the NTSB didn't do that. And our own researchers showed that, you know, in 100 years we never found a police department unjustified. But it was a very tragic time, a very emotional time. I describe it as a degree of suffering that nobody will understand unless they experience it firsthand. And for a mother to have her child... And this wasn't just a police shooting. This was a police execution. When you place a gun directly to somebody's head, you look at no other outcome but death. To have that young man killed in front of his mother and sister left trauma for them that they're still experiencing today at 16 years later.
So after watching the video of Jacob Blake, Michael Bell, being shot outside his car with his kids inside the car, what was your reaction?
The shooting just occurred 27 blocks from my home, and at 5:30 or so on Sunday evening, my phone started lighting up with incoming messages, and the video was there. The first thing that I saw was the shocking shooting, and the second thing that I my eyes were immediately drawn to was a young lady in leotards jumping up and down outside the door. She appeared to be either a family member or a friend. And she was screaming, and I know exactly, I mean, I can feel it in my chest right now, I know exactly what she was experiencing because our own family had went through that same thing.
So it became a trigger for you, and to some degree you had to relive this all over again.
It did. And but you have to understand that I've been doing this for 16 years, and people from all over the nation reach out to our family to ask, what do we do? How do we handle it? How do we change the law? And so I see a lot of these types of things. I mean, when Philando Castile got shot, when Michael Scott got shot, those types of shootings, Tamir Rice, those types of shootings always bring up those emotions in me.
Michael Bell's son was shot and killed by a Kenosha police officer in 2004, and since then he has pushed for changes within the criminal justice system, changes that the Blake family may be able to benefit from going forward. So with that in mind, you started a campaign not long after the investigation that cleared the police officers that were involved in the killing of your son. What was your push for, and how did it start for you? I mean, because you're coming out of shock, you're coming out of tragedy, and then you start a 15-year campaign to change the state of Wisconsin?
I think the most alarming thing was is that this very bad shooting by the Kenosha PD, the Wisconsin Professional Police Association decided to award these officers with meritorious service awards in May of 2005. And I'm thinking to myself, if I am I was a major in the United States Air Force at the time, if I am a major and I'm white and I have a blonde haired boy killed under a spotlight, and these guys are awarding these officers for a bad shoot, and I've reached out to the governor, it was Doyle at the time, I've reached out to the attorney general, who was Lawton Schellinger at the time. And I've tried everything I can here to get a fair review, and I'm not doing it. And they're awarding these.
Sounds like you cracked.
I did, and you know what I did? I took a full page ad out in Chicago Sun Times, and I took a full page ad out in the New York Times, and I took a full page ad out in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and a number of state papers, of raising awareness of what the heck was going on here in Wisconsin. And so we had a civil rights lawsuit. It was settled with a record settlement on Michael's birthday in 2010. And I refused to accept a non-disclosure or confidentiality agreement because I wanted Michael's story to be told. And the city just wanted this to go away. And so the mayor of the city caved in, gave us the settlement without the non-disclosure. And then I started taking out billboards and advertising and TV commercials showing everybody what was going on in Kenosha.
Did you get any residuals from three billboards in Ebbing, Minnesota? The motion picture?
No, I didn't. You know,
it sounds somewhat similar. And
very similar, yeah. Because one of the ways I avoided litigation was to ask ours was questions. And,
yep.
And our question is, when police kill, should they investigate themselves?
You can still remember some of those signs on I-94. Now, the Jacob Blake shooting will be investigated by the State Department of Justice, not the Kenosha Police Department, as was done in your son's case. This is due to the passing of a law in 2014. The first of its kind happened here in Wisconsin, and you had a hand in changing that, Michael. So how will this be different for the Blake family than it was for yours?
The Blake family has the benefit of having an outside agency come in and conduct the investigation. But there's still work that needs to be done, Lee. Right now, after this investigation is complete, they're going to hand it back to the local district attorney. And if you go to our Plea for a Change Facebook page, I'll show you with a video that was just released today where the district attorney colluded with the chief of police and the sheriff on how to block the Michael Bell investigation. So essentially, you're taking an independent investigation and you're handing it back to one of the team members of local law enforcement. In the state of New York and the state of New Jersey, they've worked very hard to make sure that independent outside prosecutors are involved with police-involved shootings, and that's what needs to occur here in Kenosha. And until that does, I'm going to question the process.
Well, and part of the reason that these investigations were taken away from the local DAs is the local DAs rely on the local law enforcement to make their cases in criminal courts every day. So it would be difficult to ask that same relationship to become contentious when they have to work together on a daily basis in the courts and through the criminal justice system.
We had to bring in an open records check, an open records attorney, and you were absolutely right. We had to bring in an open records attorney, and I had to spend over $40,000 in open records fees, and we discovered that the chief of police, the sheriff, and the DA, DA Michael Gravey and Sheriff Beth and Dan Muskinis, were on a first-name basis, and they were texting messages back and forth. And if you, like I said, if you go to the video that we put up on our Facebook page, Plea for a Change, you will see that they were texting back and forth on how to block, how to come together to block an investigation in a Michael Bell shooting.
Because they're a team, and that we wouldn't expect that to, I mean, that's the way our criminal justice system is set up. Michael Bell is our guest, and he's the Wisconsin father that sought justice in the death of his son, who died at the hands of Kenosha police back in 2004. Be interested to know what you think in the changes made with the investigation now in the hands of the Justice Department, but then return back to the local DA. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to the studio. You can always email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our conversation with Michael Bell continues. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. The police shooting of Jacob Blake is being investigated by the Wisconsin Department of Justice. It wasn't that long ago that if an officer fired a gun, their own department could conduct their own investigation. In 2014, Wisconsin became the first state to end that process, and our guest helped lead a decade-long fight for this one element of accountability. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn. However, the investigation, according to our guest, could be returned to the local DA. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org. Michael Bell is the father of 21-year-old Michael Bell Jr., who was shot and killed by an officer in Kenosha in 2004. And since then, he's been working to make a difference. Michael, you talk about the shooting of Jacob Blake being just blocks from your family's home. And since that shooting, we have seen protests break out in the streets across Kenosha. What's your reaction to them?
First off, is I think the peaceful protest is very important. I'm very alarmed by the civil unrest and the looting and the burning and so forth. I was downtown in the Lincoln Park area on the morning that they were putting out the fires, and you have to commend our fire department. They had four huge trucks just pouring water on a whole block of buildings that were being burned down. I was totally appalled by it.
I imagine in 2005 you probably wanted to burn some things down yourself. How did you channel all that anger and rage?
It is something, but there's some part of inside of me that just wanted to be to do it by the book, and I think we've done it by the book, and I'm happy about that. But there are times to know that I do have some anger over it, and the reason being is that I understand now what people of color are experiencing. Before that, I labeled myself as an ignorant white professional. I sat in my home. I didn't want to hear some of the evening news. When I did see it, I typically tended to believe the people in uniform because I was somebody that wore a uniform. And so I can understand their anger now.
How does a community in Kenosha channel that anger? How do communities across the country channel that anger in a way that provokes a difference, that incites a change, so that the next police shooting doesn't have to be a police shooting at all, so that the next allegations of violence are mitigated to a degree that they just become, you know, a nice friendly debate? How do we make it better?
We can make it better, and I want everybody to understand that I respect law enforcement, and I just expect the truth even more. My son's case was a cover-up. Instead of coming out and saying that it was an honest mistake where a police officer hooked his gun on a car mirror, they fabricated a story, they blamed the person that was killed, and they tried to avoid litigation and ruining their reputation. Right now, Senator Van Wongard, a retired police officer, a majority caucus leader from Racine, has worked with our group for the last 4 years to put out a new piece of legislation that I think is critical to how law enforcement moves forward in our nation. And this is an NTSB-style review of law enforcement. And what it does is it takes a look at the root causes of really what occurred in the in a police shooting, and then issues safety recommendations like the NTSB would to avoid it from happening again. If you take a look at the NTSB track record, you can see that they brought down aviation mishaps from the 1950s to today to they're almost non-existing, considering all the departures that we have from runways around our nation.
Michael, we talked with State Senator Wongard yesterday about his proposals, and following that, the State Senate was gaveled into session, and it just sits there dormant right now. And as you mentioned, the State Senator is one of the most powerful Republicans in a Republican-controlled legislative body. What's preventing this legislation from moving forward? Why isn't there... We've got the opportunity now, and there seems to be a call for something to change. Have you talked to the state senator recently? Why isn't this part of the session that was gaveled open yesterday?
I talked with his chief of staff yesterday, and we're excited about moving this legislation forward. And you have to remember that this legislation has been crafted by both sides. I can assure you right now that Governor Evers has two senior advisors in his staff that have been associated with the development of this particular piece of legislation regarding the NTSB. I am going to say this: shame on the legislator and the legislative bodies right now, because this is nothing more than a power struggle between the two, and they need to come together for the greater good of the whole.
You've got a bill that's got bipartisan support. It has, including the governor's, members of the governor's staff. You've got one of the most powerful Republicans in the state Senate spearheading this, and you've got the state Senate currently in session. This could happen, and...
It could happen, and it should happen, but then again, we want to do it right. We want to make sure that it's done right, and it needs to have a public hearing, and people like myself need to come and talk, and our positions need to be put in the media so that way everybody can get a clear picture of it. But this bill, just like in aviation, will help reduce police-related fatalities on both the law enforcement side and the community side. It takes out the finding fault, and it looks at what was the root cause. And so this is so important. I've been fighting for it for 4 years.
Yeah, and the opportunity seems to be available at the moment. Michael Bell, if this legislation existed at the time of your son's shooting, what do you think would have been different?
I often wondered that. There have been cases where police have made a use of force error or a mistake of fact. I mean, take a look at Amadou Diallo in New York. Officers thought he was reaching for a gun and was only reaching for his wallet to show him his ID. If that would have occurred in my son's case, where the officer came forward, and you do know that the officer involved in my son's case committed suicide in 2010, but if it would have came forward and told the truth, we wouldn't be here fighting today to make a difference in Wisconsin. Our last piece of legislation, at my last count, has gone over into 8 other states already. So somehow or another, our tragedy is making it better for others.
Last fall, you called for a new investigation to be done regarding your son's shooting. What action do you want to see taken on this case still?
I can assure your listeners that this is not a cold case. I did an interview on MSNBC the other night, and he said, well, you know, it was 16 years ago. It's water on a bridge. No, it's not. I have two of the leading authorities in forensics in our nation, one with audio and one with ballistics, reviewing our case now. And we're going to be bringing additional information forward to show that the officers, we already showed that they lied, but now we're going to have the hardest of evidence to show that they can't dispute that the officers had lied and Michael Bell was executed.
What can the Blake family expect going forward, considering your experiences?
I'm feeling for them. I mean, I remember what that time was like for us. We were trying to make funeral arrangements for Michael. We were just so emotionally devastated. And right now, I have to commend them. And I look forward to meeting Jacob's father. I want to stand side by side with Jacob's father. I want to hold a picture of my son, and I want him to hold a picture of his son. And I want to show the nation that we can come together as fathers and fighting for our children.
fighting for our children. Michael Bell, as you continue to fight for children across the country, and your support for law enforcement is clear, but also at the same time, your call for oversight. We're going to be spending the next hour talking about government oversight, and you talk about the potential for a NTSB-style commission. If we were where you wanted us to be, what would law enforcement look like on the streets today? And specifically, I'd like you to talk about communities of color.
Well, I think if we brought trust back into the system, and that is the evaluation of the use of force, nobody wants to take away the power an officer needs. I mean, just take a look at the shooting at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek. Lieutenant Brian Murphy took 14 bullets defending people of color. Nobody wants to take that away. But we want to reduce these mistake of fact shootings. 30% of law enforcement shootings have been recorded to be approximately a mistake of fact shooting. So first thing I want to see is this. Make sure that law enforcement, when an officer uses deadly force, make sure that an officer was in a clear frame of mind. Let's make sure he wasn't under the influence of alcohol, painkillers, or steroids. Second thing, let's have an independent investigation. And right now we've conducted that, and it was a very hard thing to do, but I want to tell everybody that law enforcement worked with us on that.
Michael, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for yours this morning. I very much appreciate your perspective.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, Lee. I'm sorry I ran out of time, and I look forward to talking to you again.
I as well, Michael Bell. Just ahead, we look at the history of government accountability and public trust. Bring trust back, says Michael Bell, and what kind of a difference would that make for you and me? I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.